in a wonderful, wonderful spirit. Some places you go, you feel about as welcome as a hot dog vegan or a hot dog vendor at a vegan festival. And here, it's just been from the night we got here, it's just been a wonderful time and great fellowship, great spirit. And we love Bethel Baptist Church. You've been so much and meant so much to us, and we're just so thankful for it. And I'm standing between you and lunch. And you're saying, hurry up. That's what you're saying. Let's get after it. All right. I heard the story about a preacher that he said, I've got so much to say, I just don't know where to start. A little fella hollered out from the back. He said, why don't you start somewhere toward the end? That'll help. And so we're going to start toward the end. No, we won't do that. We're in Matthew chapter number 9. And we'll begin reading in verse number 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35. The Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now look at these next four words in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Would you please be seated? I'm going to pray as you're seated, and I would ask that you do the same. And with the Lord's help this morning, we're going to pray we get to see as Jesus sees. See as Jesus sees. Our Father, I thank you for the privilege it is to stand here and preach the Word of God, for all that this missions conference has been to Brother Moore and his family and our family. We've just been so blessed to be here. And I thank you for the privilege. I thank you for the kindness of these folks. And Lord, in these moments, I pray that you'd do a work in the appropriate time, that you'd speak to hearts through this Word that we've read, and that you would guide and direct in my words and my thoughts and all that is said and communicated. We pray that certainly, Lord, you would be honored and exalted in every way, that we would hear and heed exactly what you would desire for us to hear and to heed. We'll be grateful for it. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We just read that Jesus said the harvest truly is plenteous. There are people to reach. There is a work to be done. And the danger of any church is that we don't see the harvest as God sees it. Christ saw the harvest, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, the Bible says. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have much work to do and less time than we've ever had to get it done. The danger of any church is that we don't see the harvest as God sees it. As followers of Christ, we have this privilege to take the gospel into all the world. We must give ourselves to the work of the harvest. These times demand urgent action. And remember, the good news of the gospel is only the good news of the gospel to them that hear it in time. We've got to get it to those around us. I read an old preacher of the past, and he said it this way: many churches today remind me of a laboring crew trying to gather in a harvest while they sit in the tool shed. They go to the tool shed every Sunday and they study bigger and better methods of agriculture. They sharpen their hoes and they grease their tractors and then get up and go home. They do this week in and week out, year in and year out, and nobody ever goes out in the fields to gather the harvest. Well, in our text this morning that we've read, Matthew records here the third time that Jesus goes to this region that is called Galilee. On his first trip, and in Matthew chapter 4, he was accompanied by some of his disciples. His second trip, he's accompanied by all 12. But we find here in this text, as we come to this third trip that Jesus took to Galilee, that he had sent all 12 out. We notice here in verse number 35 where the Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He desired for his disciples to get the gospel message out. Notice how the Bible says that Jesus went there in verse number 35. His ministry was actively going where needy lives were to be found. He went to the people scattered across the hills of Galilee where many cities and villages, and Jesus went to all of these places teaching and preaching. He went to their synagogues and preached and taught the word of God. Jesus went everywhere. He went to every class of Jewish people. He went to the large cities where people lived and the large urban settings, but he also went to the villages and the little out-of-the-way places. Galilee was full of these places. He went to the folks where their entire world was maybe a cottage and an ox and maybe a little bit of ground that they lived their life on. And to see people like Christ sees them, we must come to the understanding that those out-of-the-way places are just as important to Christ as the big cities. Nobody was too sophisticated for Jesus, nor was anyone too simple for him to take the good news of the gospel to. He was just as much at home with the cultured and the educated Nicodemus as he was with the outcast we know as Zacchaeus. He visited the home of Simeon the leper, and as much as he willingly did so, the home of Simon the Pharisee. All men were equal on his heart. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus came, Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to all the lost. That means he came to all man. You know, we heard it in Sunday school so well taught this morning that we need to recognize that whoever God brings to us or wherever God sends us, everybody is equally in need of the gospel of Christ. That we ought not look at somebody and say, well, they deserve it more, or maybe they don't need, they look like they've got it all together and so forth. And I will tell you this, that where God put us, and I'm thankful that he put us where he did. We've never had a church like Bethel Baptist Church until we had the privilege of getting Colonial Baptist Church planted. But it's a wonderful thing because there is a mentality and a mindset among many, and I don't mean to throw everybody under the bus, but I'm just saying there's a mentality that if we build the field that, you know, our dreams and all that, the people will come in. In other words, if we build the church and the building and we just come in and pray for them, that they just all come flooding in the back doors. No, you'll find that we're to go out. And you know this, we're to go out into the highways and hedges. We're to compel them. That we have a call and a commission to go out. And yes, we have a place to invite people to, but we have got to go out to where they are. Bring them in, we sang it. Bring them in from the fields of sin. They don't always come in ready-made, do they? Oh, I have no doubt that I'm looking at some that I don't know all of your testimony, but you may not look like you do right now, having it. You look like you got it all put together. Every one of you do. Now, you may be good at lying, but you look like you got it all put together this morning, all right? And I'm just saying, you may not look like that the first time you came to church. No, really. And we don't get them ready-made in Marion, Arkansas. I mean, they come in looking and smelling like all kind of things. And I mean, it's a we'd be amazed. You get off of the bus. Listen, I drive the bus every Sunday morning. And you get off the bus, it's going out right now, picking up folks for church right now. We're an hour earlier than y'all are here. And man, I come back, man, I smell like a skunk, because to me, weed smells like skunk. Those kids get on the bus, they can't choose the house they live in. They don't have a choice to smell. Their clothes stink. They smell like marijuana. They come into church and find little old grandmas that'll hug them and love them and tell them Jesus loves them, and find a Sunday school teacher or a junior church teacher that tell them that Jesus loves them. And you bring them in just like they are. You love them right where they're at. Amen. What a privilege it is that we have our Jerusalem to go into. Well, Galilee is this region where there is a desire for the Lord Jesus Christ to get into all of these parts and all of these little towns and communities and places that wouldn't even be considered a community, to get the gospel to these individuals. And I want to look just for a moment this morning at a couple of thoughts along the way about seeing as God sees. First of all, may we see the pity of the harvest. In verse number 36, the Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Notice how Jesus saw the multitudes. He did not focus on the disciples or his inner circle of friends, but he looked out and he saw the multitude. And when he saw them, the Bible said he was moved with compassion. Move with compassion, it literally means to have the bowels to yearn. It means to feel sympathy. It means to feel pity. That I'm telling you, when the Bible says that he was moved, there was this heart and this desire, it physically affected him to feel sympathy, to truly have pity. We might say it in this way, we might say, my heart goes out to them. But when you have such a desire and a yearning to help somebody, that you get to the place where it moves you physically, you weep, you see people like Jesus did, it will affect you. Amen. And would to God we have a fresh and a new desire to see a yearning in us when we see a lost person. That it becomes more than just seeing somebody that is like everyone else around us that, well, they obviously don't know the Lord. But there's somebody that could know the Lord. There's somebody that needs the Lord. The Bible says, but when he saw, and it's interesting to me that before Jesus saw the needs of the people in verse 36, that the Bible tells us that he first went in 35, verse 35. Before he saw the need, he went to them. And that principle remains to this very day. We rarely become burdened for the people and their spiritual needs until we go to them and see where they are, see how they live. When we rub shoulders with them on their turf and see where they are. Listen, they need Christ, but we got to go to them. It'd be a wonderful thing if we could just set up shop and put the invite out there like y'all do, and we do door hangers, and we've been putting John and Romans on every door in our community and inviting folks. But I'll be honest with you, we put door hangers up and invite everybody. You know, if we just stand around and wait till somebody just shows up, it generally doesn't happen that way. We've got to compel them. We've got to tell them of their need of a Savior. There's got to be a heart and a compassion to see them, and it is a blessing to go out and to invite them. But when Jesus went to them, he saw their spiritual condition. And I'm just reminding us of this fact this morning, that when you see people in the condition they live in, if we have the compassion of Christ, and if we see them as Christ sees us, if we see them as Christ sees them, our compassion will grow. And it won't be yuck or ugh. Or what a mess they're in. Who could help them? Well, that's the message we get to carry. It's called the good news. It's called the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. We got the greatest message in the world. And so next time we're tempted to look at somebody and say, oh my, they're hopeless. No, they're not. They are not hopeless. Not only are they not hopeless, they're in the best condition they could be to need a Savior. They need Christ. We have the privilege of sharing that. In other words, Jesus did not see them only, he saw their need. They fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. He saw them helpless. He saw them hopeless in their condition. And take note that as he saw them, listen, the pleasures of the sheep run out. The pleasures of the world run out. The good times run out. Self-sufficiency runs out. They don't know they need a Savior, many of them, but they're going to meet a time in life where they are going to recognize, I need something. And many people are looking for something. That's what we find in the city God put us in. We find people that are just looking for something. We find people that are searching. They don't even know what they're searching for. And it might be to turn over a new leaf. It might be to find some kind of a religion. It might be trying to find something to be. And by the way, that's why religion has a stronghold in the region of America where we live. Where there's poverty, you'll always find the false gospel of health and wealth, prosperity. You give your seed and sow your sevenfold, and God will make you rich. You put your hand on the TV screen and say hocus pocus, and God will make you wealthy. No. Religion has made its way. It's an amazing thing to me that you'll find people that They go and we'll drive by. I drive the bus on Sunday mornings, and I see some of these, I don't want to use the word churches, these houses of religion, and they're these religious centers, if you will, and you'll see. I mean, there's cars held together by baling wire, and cars held together by, it's Arkansas, folks, cars held together by duct tape, but they're going in there to hear somebody, the one that says, Pastor and Mrs. Pastor, and they got a Mercedes parked in their parking spot. No, I'm serious. And everybody else there is just trying to, they're just trying to get whatever it is that God gave them. They're looking for some way out. It's so sad. But my temptation is to look over there and say, oh my goodness, look how foolish they are. No, I'm to have compassion for them. I'm to say they're gonna reach an end to that somewhere, and I hope somewhere along the way we can meet each and every one of those people that are gonna find religion will leave them emptier than they had it when they started out looking for it. And how sad it is, but their pleasures are run out. Do we pity them? Do we feel compassion for them? We've got to get back to the place where we're moved to compassion because somebody has a need for Jesus. Jesus saw the multitude, and the Bible says clearly he was moved with compassion. By the way, the world is no different today than it was here in Matthew 9. People are people. People blinded by false religion are wandering in spiritual darkness, and they're in a spiritual wilderness. Today in La Plata and Waldorf, and I don't know how to name all the, I don't know how to say all these words around here. I just know this, there's a whole lot of them. And in Arkansas, we sound stuff out and we still don't get it right. So anyway, but I know all these regions and to Twin Cities where Brother Moore's going and to our region there in Crittenden County, Arkansas. I just know this, so many are perishing. And they're wandering into eternal darkness. Many of them are doing it by listening to religious, false religious narratives. They're listening to false teachings. They're looking for it by denying anything to do with religion. What many call Christianity has nothing to do with Christ. We know that. We have the truth. But we have the blueprint. We've got everything we need. We've just got to take it to them. Not only may we see the pity, but may we see in verse 37 the potential. The potential of this in which we get to take into the world as Jesus did. The harvest truly is plenteous. Jesus saw that potential. He didn't focus on the hopelessness of the harvest. Christ focused rather on the hope for the harvest. That there are those who need him, but he can go to them and some will respond. Jesus did not pity and then do nothing. He said, get the combine out. He said, get everything ready to go. We're going to go out and harvest a crop. In other words, the purpose was what we're going to go do, we're going to be faithful to go do it. That's what he tells us to do. He saw the potential of the lost coming to him. He saw sinners being set free from their sin. He saw the guilty being made free. He saw the unforgiven being made forgiven. Are we seeing those around us as potential believers? Oh, if we could sneak in here in about an hour and see in this auditorium that God's just been so good to give us a building. It's just a miracle story. He even paid for it all. I mean, it's just so good, and God's done so much for us. But if you could go in and just see some people. Now, I don't know. They may not all look exactly like you think they all ought to look. We're just glad they're there. Amen? But I can tell you this. There's so many. They don't look anything like they did when we first met them. There's been a change. I mean, they look different. First of all, there's a smile these precious kids sang about. They have a hope and a joy. They have something now that they never had before. Some of them had religion, but they never had Jesus. Some of them had nothing. They didn't know. You say, I thought you lived in the Bible Belt. Listen, the Bible, I don't know what the Bible Belt is, but whatever it is, we're in one of them holes where the loop thing goes, because it missed us completely. I mean, we get every kid we give a Bible to has never had one. People come in our church, they don't have Bibles. They didn't grow up with a Bible in their home. And so I know we might think regionally or geographically and say, well, this place is that way, and that may be the case. But I'm telling you, these people need Christ, and it's an amazing thing. When they get saved, their life changes, and everything changes about it. And you learn to love them right where they are, but the potential is seeing people not where they are, but where God can take them. And praise the Lord, after a few years, you get to see how that works over time. And we think, man, that person doesn't have I just don't know how in the world they could ever get past this. And we still work with some. I don't know how in the world. God, I know God can, but I don't know how it's going to happen. But after you've seen God do it time and again, it gives you hope for those that you say, I don't know how it's going to happen. It didn't happen because of us the first time, and it won't happen because of us ever. It's all because of Christ. And that potential of the harvest that is plenteous is the potential of what Christ can do in a life. Well, you don't know my family. Oh, no. Jesus does. You do. But you don't understand this thing or that thing about this person or that person. But I'm telling you, the gospel can reach all men. That it's only by the power of the gospel. Listen, if I could win them, if it was up to me to have to win anybody, if I could woo them or win them or try to do something, listen, if we could get somebody to say a prayer and get them saved, I'd do all kind of things to get people to say a prayer. I'd do repeat after me. I'd give somebody $5 and say repeat. $5 goes a long way in Arkansas. I'd say, hey, repeat this prayer after me. You'll be saved. Doesn't work that way, does it? What we can do is we can give them the gospel. I know they got to make their own decision. But so much of that is seeing them as Christ sees them, to have the compassion in the first place. To say, you know what? So what if the church building stinks when everybody leaves Sunday morning and you got to go squirt potpourri everywhere? So what? I mean, really, so what? My wife and I have gotten to the place where, I don't know, we're probably going to have the black lung. We're going to have black lungs from smoking. We never smoked a day in our life. That's what it smells like in our auditorium. And you say, well, I wouldn't want to go to your church. You wouldn't want to live where I live either, okay? You don't have to worry about it. But I'm saying this, that you learn to love and see people as Christ sees them. We don't always get it right. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying this, the compassion that Christ gives us. And when you understand the importance of seeing people as He does, it gives you a love and a yearning. And my goodness, thank God Jesus saw us and didn't treat us how we deserve. What an amazing thought. Where there's a lost soul, there is hope. There is a potential saint where there's a lost soul. No matter how good or how bad someone may be, there's always the potential for their salvation. But may we see the problem of the harvest. And it's mentioned here, and I think most of us would understand this pretty clearly, pretty simply. The Bible says, but the laborers are few. That's a problem. The laborers are few. The problem of lack of harvest is not in the harvest itself, because the Bible says the harvest is plenteous. The problem is not the harvest itself. The problem is not the lack of harvest, but it's obviously the harvesters, those that'll go out and those that'll do. Jesus still saves. The problem is the laborers are few. The problem is that not many are interested and involved in gathering the harvest. Do you know why the reapers are few? Because it involves labor. It involves work. That's why it's an impressive thing, and I don't mean that in any wrong way, or didn't mean that to come out any wrong way, but it's an impressive thing to come to Bethel Baptist Church. And I'm sure we never said a thing about it, but I'm sure if I were to go to Brother Moore and say, man, can you imagine, wouldn't it be wonderful to get to do this every Sunday and preach to this crowd and have these people and all that? Because it's a wonderful thing. You've got the heart of missions. I mean, you set aside several days every year for a missions conference. So if somebody can come and preach and challenge and stir us to do what many of you are already doing and have been doing for some time, that's a wonderful thing. But as we are desiring even to be stirred up even more than we ever have, there's a realization that some of us have to come to. And you know what backsliding is. It's being further from Christ than you have been at any point in your life. And there's some times when we need to see Christ touch the dials and the Holy Spirit get in our life and adjust some things and get us right where we need to be. And if the Holy Spirit of God puts His thumb on something in our lives and says, in this area, this is affecting not the harvest, but it's affecting you as being a laborer for the harvest. This is keeping you from being able to witness or being able to be the testimony that you need to be. The problem is the laborers are few. Christ did not say witnesses are few. He said laborers are few. Reaping a harvest among sinners is hard work. It takes effort. You got to get dirty. You got to rub shoulders and talk to people and love them right where they are. My wife and I say that all the time. We have to remind ourselves, and it may sound, oh, that's a really good thing to say, oh, they're so mature. No, we have to remind each other. My wife will look at me and say, you just got to love them right where they are. Oh, yeah, okay. Because Jesus loves me right where I am. And I'm telling you, there's times when we need to stop and we need to recognize that it takes some work and some effort. It takes pushing the pedal all the way to the metal sometime to love people even a little bit. And look at that neighbor that you may not necessarily have a desire to do anything for them, but to know that evidently God wanted them to be my neighbor because they are. Evidently God wanted them to be in my family because they are. Evidently God wanted me to work with them because I do. And I'm to be the witness to them. If I don't pray for them, nobody will ever be praying for them. If I don't witness to them, there's likely nobody to ever witness to them. If I don't love them, likely nobody will ever love them that's on this earth. And we're to love them. We're to have a heart for them. We can get too wrapped up in ourselves to be concerned about anyone else. And while churches all over America sit and do nothing, the potential harvest, it literally rots in the field. We got to be careful. The old preacher Vance Havner used to say, the tragedy of our time is that the situation is desperate, but the saints are not. The situation is desperate, but the saints are not. And I found this, and I praise God for Bethel Baptist Church. You want to know where the strongest Great Commission churches are? It's not these big, giant, mega churches that we hear. I'm telling you, it's churches all across this land. That may be small in number as the world would look at it, but the desire in the heart of a Great Commission church that understands and gets the message, and they carry on the Great Commission not only by sending missionaries out and not only by supporting those in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, but churches that have a heart for their own Jerusalem, a Great Commission church, that they're doing the both and, not the either or. In other words, they're not just giving missions dollars and exporting it, if you will, but that they are all the while doing that, keeping the heart at home, keeping the heart and seeing people as Christ sees them, having a heart for missions and a compassion for those around them, strong right here at home. I love that. It's a wonderful thing when one of you get to tell another person that you either saw somebody saved or you just got to give the gospel to somebody. You got to have a conversation. Listen, you're not going to go out. I don't know. I've heard people say all kind of things. Just because they say it don't make it so, by the way. I've heard people say, man, every time I go out, I see somebody saved. And I think you're doing something that I just didn't learn how to do. I don't know. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can at least give somebody the gospel. We can at least live a testimony. We can at least behave in such a way that somebody would see Christ in us. You say, well, what do you got to do that? Just be a menial Christian. Just be regular Christian and you'll stick out in this world. No, I'm serious. You'll stick out like a sore thumb. And we've just got to learn, and I'm not saying to do as little as you can. I'm saying the more you desire to live for Christ, the more you have opportunity to testify for Him. What a privilege. I close this morning. May we see the prayer of the harvest. That prayer is found there in verse number 38, where Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Notice what He said. Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. The first thing you do is pray. You pray for your loved ones that need Christ. We've got folks that are praying for loved ones. We've got a couple ladies that are praying for their spouse to be saved.
And we've seen God do some amazing things in those situations whereas once upon a time the spouse wouldn't even let them do this or do that, but now the spouse, you know, the husband is, not only do they let him go to church, but they become more friendly. And man, one fellow wouldn't even talk to us. He wouldn't even come in the building, you know. Now he comes all the time at least to pick her up, and we get to, and he's a blessing. I believe God's going to see him get saved. But you know where all that started? There was a time. There was a time when, in both of these situations, but in one that I'm thinking of in particularly, there was a time when they would try to encourage and maybe always have something to say. Well, if you went to church, that wouldn't happen. Well, if you did this, and if you did that, and you did. And all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, it started to change, and it's because somebody decided, I'm just going to pray. I can't change anybody, but my God can. And they began to pray. And all of a sudden, some walls start falling down, and you pray, and you have that heart and that desire, and you pray, and you have that compassion. And what a wonderful thing that is. That's the first thing that we ought to do, is to pray. This is the Lord's work. If there's ever to be a great reaping of the harvest, it will have much to do with the power of God. It has to be done in God's power, not our own. We could all come together and we could rack our, put our brains together, which if you add them all up in this room, it'd be quite a bit. In Arkansas, take a lot to get a brain. Amen. Now, I'm just telling you this, that when you pick, no, everybody had brains moved out. Amen. I'm just saying this, that with the heart and the desire that we could have and muster up in our flesh to try to go reach the world, we'd be wasting time to try to do it outside of God's power. It takes God's power. We can have all the want to in the world, but we have got to have the power of God. Through prayer, we gain the compassion we need to see the harvest as they truly are. And it's through prayer that we'll ask for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. And how can we ask God to send forth someone else without first saying, Lord, send me? We can pray for the missionaries, and we can pray for the field that God sends them to, regardless of where it is, regardless of what it looks like, regardless to the type of people or to the culture in which the Lord has taken them to minister and to reach the world, that part of the world with the gospel. I'm just telling you this, there's got to be a heart with us to say, Lord, what do you want to do with me? Because all the while God sends a missionary around the world, I know at minimum he desires to send us across the street. To send us through the checkout line. To send us to that person in need. Some time ago now, this particular thing happened, but a lady in our church, she was running late and she had some kind of issue and she needed to stop by the grocery store. And I can't remember now what it was. And she's worried about being to church late, but she ran quickly into our little grocery store there in town and little marketplace. And she went in there. She come into church. She was just so excited. She said, I know that God led me to go to that grocery store. And it was so wonderful to hear how excited she was. She got to that grocery store and there was a lady behind the checkout line. And this lady had tears in her eyes, and Miss Linda, the sweet lady that is just a precious part of our church, but she made some kind of a comment about the Lord or whatever it was that she said, and inviting her to church, whatever it was, gospel track, whatever it was. And this lady said, would you pray for me? And I just remember, it changed our service that night. That was a Sunday night. She come in so excited that God would prompt her to do something like that. And whereas she would have been afraid to do that before, she got to do that. Oh, she's starting to see the harvest as Christ sees the harvest. The heart and that compassion. Well, we know this, a church will either evangelize or it'll fossilize. But old Brother Rogers, the old preacher, said it'll never stand still. It's going to go one way or the other. We've got to evangelize. We've got to be faithful. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. My understanding is that's the only prayer request you'll ever find Jesus making, is praying for laborers for the harvest field. Let's be faithful. Let's pray. God's given us 6 children. We got 3 in heaven and we got 3 with us. I just guess I could say that the 3 he's given to us here on this earth to raise and to see God do great things with. I think he wants us to have 3 soul winners. 3 people like Noah did. to go change the world with the gospel of Christ. And boy, if we'd all get that heart and see as Christ sees our Jerusalem. He went to Galilee. And I guess if there's anything to take away from the geography of where he was when he made this statement about the harvest is plenteous, laborers are few. There's not some out of the way house or out of the way community or some, there's not a place where there's a light on. You ever fly and you look down and see lights and you wonder, where is that? That's so remote. And you'll see lights somewhere out of an airplane looking down on the ground. And when you're driving out through these country roads, if there's a human, there's a soul. And if there's a soul, they need a Savior. And would to God, we who see that have the compassion that He has for them. The laborers are few. If you're not a laborer, sign up today. If you need to be saved, get saved. But if you're not a laborer, become one. And let's see as Christ sees. Father, help us this morning. Please give us the compassion that'll only be had as we see your love and recognize what you did for us. May we see our neighbors as somebody that you love and shed your blood for and gave your life for. We deserve salvation no more than anyone else. And there's not a person in this world that you've put within our sphere, our life, our world, our bubble that we live in. And Lord, if we don't witness to them, there may not be anyone else who will ever. So help us. I pray that this morning through the preaching of your word and through these words of your word, I pray that you'd put your thumb in some area of our life that we really need to surrender to. So may we see some laborers that'll re-sign this morning. May we see some that have not had the boldness to witness, find that boldness in Christ and rest in your Holy Spirit to be able to give a word of testimony for what you have done for them. And so I pray, Lord, that we would see the harvest as you see the harvest. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. There may be...